Good morning. It's nice to be with you this morning. We bring our greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the assembly gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Kelowna and as well as the one in West Bank. We're working with them as well as with Morning Star Bible Camp. And so we greet you in the name of the Lord. We thank you for your prayers. We've been busy and we're busy still preparing for this summer. We plan on having day camps, 6 day camps during the summer that start at 9 a.m. and go till 4:30 in the afternoon. That's outreach to children and young teenagers. And we're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to the discipleship program this summer. We plan on going through the entire Bible in 2 months, in the month of July, the Old Testament, the month of August, the New Testament, and we're looking forward to doing that. It's been a helpful, I think, to me as I prepare for the summer, and I started writing a handout, and it's turned into a booklet, and hopefully it doesn't turn into a book, but it has the beginnings of one. We're also doing 2 work camps this summer, and they're going to be treated more like a family camp because families are allowed to stay overnight. I think even some overnight camps are being permitted now. If you'd like to participate in that and get away for a little while this summer and come up to warm West Bank, it's warmer than Vancouver. It's not as rainy as Vancouver. I noticed that because last year when I came down in the month of at the end of August, I left my tomato plants in West Bank and I left them for somebody to water. And I arrived back and they were all dead because they didn't get as much water. And so this trip, I decided, well, I'm taking my tomato plant with me because it has like 30 tomatoes already started and I don't want it to die. So I brought it with me and now it has over 60 little tomatoes on it. And the plants that are here don't have anything growing yet. So it's been a much more conducive year to growing tomatoes in the Okanagan than it has been in Vancouver. And if you'd like to get away and have a little bit of time, and it's going to be treated a little bit of work around camp and a lot of fellowship and a lot of Bible study in the mornings and the evenings, if you'd like to come along to that, get a hold of Josh Kaplan or look on the Morning Star Bible Camp website, and you can find out some more information about that. And so that's sort of what we're up to. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This morning, we were thinking a little bit about from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45, and Luke chapter 5. This is a story that's found in 3 of the Gospels. And being found in 3 of the Gospels, it's giving you and I what we might call surround sound. We're getting the same story told in different ways. And as a story that's told in different ways, you and I see different aspects, 3 testimonies. We were thinking of it sometimes as a way that if you're to witness a car accident and you're behind the car, you see the car accident from a different point of view from somebody who's beside the car. Or if you're above the car looking down from a helicopter. So behind, you might see if they put a signal light on or they hit their brakes or not. You wouldn't see that from the sky. You wouldn't see that from the side. But from the behind view, you get a different view. And so every view is helping you understand more fully what's going on. And in this story, we get Matthew, Mark, and Luke all giving an account of the same story. So we can get different points of view on it. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, And when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And the Lord saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We have this story before us on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus comes down from the mount, and this leper comes to him. Sometimes people think that they're either too good for God or they're too bad for God. And as we read through the scriptures, we find out that nobody is too good for God to reject or too bad for God to reject. So John chapter 3, for example, we get this very religious, upright man named Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus by night. Some say that's because that's the condition of his heart, you see. It was dark in his heart. And it's absolutely true. His heart and his life were dark. He didn't know God. But he also came to God at night because perhaps he just couldn't wait till the morning. We were thinking this morning from Exodus chapter 8 in the story of all the frogs that were causing so much problem in Egypt. And Moses asked Pharaoh, Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs to be gone? And Pharaoh, for some reason, said, tomorrow. Why not today? You see, and sometimes I think Nicodemus, he couldn't wait till tomorrow. He had to find out now. And beloved, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you won't harden your hearts, don't wait till tomorrow, beloved, because tomorrow never comes. You're always living in the present. You're never living in the future. And you're only promised this moment right now. And so as we see this story of Nicodemus, we see that there was nobody that was too good. In the next chapter of John, we see this woman from Samaria at the well. And she had to go out to Jacob's well in the middle of the day, because she was an outcast of society. She was a woman of questionable reputation, you see. She didn't only have one husband. She had had a second husband and a third husband and a fourth husband and a fifth husband. And the man she was living with in sin now wasn't even her husband. And she was so certain that she was rejected by God because she was rejected also by the people. And beloved, the Lord Jesus talked with her. And at the very beginning of chapter 4, it says he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to talk to her. And her story tells us that nobody is so low that God will absolutely reject them. Chapter 3, nobody is so good and so honored that God doesn't have to have an experience with them. In chapter 4, nobody is so low that they're beyond God's help. And this story here in Matthew chapter 8, and again in Luke chapter 1, verse 40, and again Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we have the story of a leper. Now, leprosy in the Bible isn't the same as leprosy today. Some would make the argument and tell you the story that it is, but it isn't. Because if you look at the rules regarding leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, you'd find none of them apply to what's called leprosy today. It's a different disease in the Bible than it is today. And we make that distinction. It's a white spot. It's not a deformity. It's not a thing where hands and limbs are falling off like today's leprosy. It's a spot that starts shallow and it grows bigger and bigger quite quickly so that you can notice if it's happening in a week's time. The leprosy of today develops over years and years and years. But some things are in common with what we call leprosy today, because these people were called the untouchables, just like the untouchables of leprosy that Mother Teresa would have worked with in northern India in her time, the ones that nobody wanted anything to do with. In fact, in Leviticus 13 and 14, it would tell us the rules regarding it. And one of the rules regarding leprosy is you weren't allowed contact with anybody. You had to shout out the words, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." So nobody would come close to you, because if you touched somebody like that, you would become unclean also. That's not today's leprosy. So it's a little bit different from what we encounter today, but it's something similar in the sense that it's something that nobody wants. You see, leprosy in the Bible is often used as a metaphor for sin. It's something that's there and it starts off just as a little thing. But it grows and it grows and it grows until it's a big thing. And often that's how sin is in our life. You and I are born in sin, so we have that problem just to start off with. But sometimes, especially when you're young, you start to develop habits. Some of those habits are good, some of the habits are bad. Advertisers realize that most people make most of the decisions that affect the rest of their lives between the ages of 18 and 25. So when you watch the commercials on TV, a lot of the people in the commercials are aged between 18 and 25. What beer are you going to drink? You never see old alcoholics living in the gutter in the commercials. That's not what Satan would have you. You don't want to end up like that. You want to be this nice, happy, fit. That's what they try to advertise. And they decided that whichever beverage you're going to drink, you're going to decide which beverage you're going to drink, Coke or Pepsi. What kind of coffee are you going to drink? Folgers? Are you going to drink McDonald's coffee or Starbucks coffee? It's all, or Tim Hortons. It's all in the advertising. And a lot of the decisions we make when we're younger. And those decisions affect the rest of our lives. And beloved, sometimes the decisions that you and I make as young people, they're not right before God's eyes. And they start as something small and something that we think we can control, and then it gets uncontrollable. And it grows and it grows and it grows like leprosy. It started off as a small spot and you weren't quite sure. Maybe you just ignored it. Sometimes today we have cancers that start off as a small little thing and we just ignore it. It's no big thing. It's just a little spot. It's just a little lump. No big deal. But left unchecked, it grows and it grows. And the leprosy would also grow and grow. And left unchecked, beloved, sin grows and grows in our lives. I don't think any alcoholic decided, you know what I'm going to be in my life? I want to be an alcoholic. I'm going to go to school and become an alcoholic. That's the great university program. But how many alcoholics started drinking when they were in university? And that's the education that comes out of it. How many fornicators and adulterers learned how to fornicate and become adulterers in university? And those decisions that are made when they're young people come to haunt them and become uncontrollable as they're older. And people who are divorced once are often divorced twice, and often divorced a third time. The woman from the well in John chapter 4 is alive and well today. Even amongst famous people. I don't remember how many husbands Elizabeth Taylor had, but it was a handful. She was called the most beautiful woman in the world, and even today, Jennifer Lopez was named by People magazine as one of the most attractive women in the world, and she got divorced again. When did she learn that? Not when she was an old widow. She learned that while a young person. And it became a bigger problem and a bigger problem. And that's what happens with leprosy. It starts as something that you think you can control. That's what happens with sin. It starts as something you think you have control over it. But when all is said and done, it has control of you. And this is the story of the leper. He was a man who was destined to death. Just like sin, the soul that sins must die, writes the Old Testament prophet. And as a man under sin, because we're born in sin, and we sin because of our sinful nature, and because we sin, we're destined to die. Sin entered the world and death by sin. Sin entered your life and death because of sin. And this man was destined to die. In Luke's account, it says he was full of leprosy. It wasn't just a spot. It says he was full from head to toe. It was something so grievous and so visible that there it was. It was unmistakable. And being unmistakable, there he was. You see, this man was so affected by his sin. He was so lonely because of his sin. You see, he had to yell out, unclean, unclean. He was an untouchable one. You couldn't touch him. And he was so lost because of his sin. He was so destined for death that he has no other place to go. And he may have thought, this is my last chance. And he comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, if you are willing, you can make me whole. You see, it was never an occurrence in his mind that Jesus could not do it. It was a matter of whether or not it was God's will. And beloved, with you and I, it's never a matter of whether God can heal us or not. It's a matter of his will. And if he heals you, it's showing God's power in the physical realm, isn't it? And if he doesn't heal you, he's showing off his power in the spiritual realm. As he spiritually strengthens you to go through that debilitating, disappointing, depressing, discouraging event of life that you're going through. You see, one is a physical realm. The other is a spiritual realm. And God can get the glory. And where will God get the most glory? That's what God's in the business of doing, you know. And so it's not a matter of whether or not God is able to heal. It's a whether or not he's willing. You see, that's how the Lord Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, not my will, but thine be done. If it is possible to remove this cup from me, remove it. And if not, you can remove it. Without a doubt, you can remove the cup. You can remove it. But not my will. If you're willing, you can remove it. And if not, there were three men, at the very beginning. They were thrown into a furnace of fire, fiery furnace. I want you to know that God is able to free us, to liberate us from this horrible furnace. But if not, you know, I don't know that Winston Churchill was the most godly man in the world, but he quoted that verse in 1945 when he was sending people to Normandy about this time of year. And he said, but if not, as he was trying to encourage the troops. It's something for you and I to think that nothing is beyond God's ability, but it's a matter of his will. And if he can get the glory in the physical realm and show his strength, he can do that. And if he wants to show his glory in the spiritual realm and give you the strength to and the testimony to go through this test, to go through this trial, to go through the tribulation, he'll do that too. And then we hear those words from the Lord Jesus, I am willing. And he touched him, and he was made whole immediately. You see, when God works, he works. Well, I guess first we need to think back that as Jesus passed by, those words popped out. And you know that Jesus passes by in everybody's life. Some way, somehow, the witness of Jesus Christ goes. Whether it's through the witness of creation, the witness of spring, when we remember the resurrection, it's always there. And Jesus came by. And he prayed, Lord, I don't know if it's your will or not, but I know it's well within your power to answer it. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, because Jesus was his only hope. And then the Lord said, I am willing, and he touched him. You see, that day, beloved, heaven touched earth. God touched a man. Eternity touched time. And life touched death. It's a marvelous thing. And as a physical symbol of the spiritual miracle of God being able to make broken and ruined mankind whole, God makes this leprous man whole again through the touch of the Lord Jesus. And his leprosy vanished along with every sin he had ever committed, because the leprosy instantly left him and he was healed. Immediately, he became a new man. He didn't become healthier. He became whole. He was not helped. He was healed. The dark clouds of his life were all taken away. And he touched him. Just like he touched me, just like he touched many of you. And beloved, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not committees and meetings and agendas and programs. It's not seminars and conferences. It's not seminaries and ideologies. The gospel is sin-scarred people coming to a holy God, desperate, in need for a savior, in need of a deliverer. Men and women reach out, and we're touched by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't Sunday school that saved me. It wasn't even a gospel meeting that saved me. It wasn't a church program that saved me. It wasn't a gospel tract that saved me. It was Jesus. He saved me, and he alone saved me. And he touched me, and he made me whole. Oh, God can use Sunday school. God can use the gospel meeting. God uses tracts. God uses those things. But you're only saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to ask, Lord, save me. I remember Charlie Haas so many years ago preaching. And he was saying, and it's not even a gospel verse, ask what you will and it shall be given. And he said, you know, if you want to be saved, you have to ask. God doesn't violate your trust. He doesn't violate your humanity. You have to ask him and he'll save you. And that day, I went home thinking on the Sunday. And on Wednesday, beside my bed, just like we were hearing about the testimony from Louis Boyer and Ollie and James, just like Eric was reminding us that the word of God doesn't return void. The Lord dealt with me Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I got saved. Amen. He was preaching, you know, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be given. I wasn't abiding in Christ by any means, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I remember at the October conference and Jim Boswell was preaching John 3:16, just like his behind. And the way Jimmy Boswell used to preach is he just went through that one verse and explained it word for word. And I did wasn't abiding in Christ, but that word verse was sure abiding in me. Amen. And then Charlie Haas comes up and he says, ask what you will. Do you want the Lord Jesus to save you? You have to ask. You see, if this leper never came to Lord Jesus and asked, he wasn't going to be made whole. And he asked, and the Lord was willing, and the Lord saved you. Oh, the Lord is not willing, beloved, that any should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. All should come to a knowledge of him. And he is willing to save. Sometimes we sing the song, he is mighty to save. And he's willing to do that too. And this is what changed my life. It wasn't a church program, but the living God. It wasn't doctrine, but a knowledge of sin and the Savior and a surrender to him. This is the gospel that touched Jesus, or that touched when Jesus touched the man and made him whole. This is the gospel to you and to me this morning. You might say, well, why is it to you? I say, because it reminds me of what I used to be and what a great salvation God has given. Amen. And it might be to you this morning that you need to be reminded of such a great salvation. And it might be to you this morning because you've never come to the Savior and asked for your sins to be forgiven. And you might say, if you're willing, and the Lord would say to you this morning, I am willing. Be whole. when the Lord touches you and immediately your sins are taken away. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he take your sins away from you. He touches your life and he makes you whole. We want to end with the singing of a song, number 532 in these praise books. I think Roy is going to put it up for us. It's called He Touched Me. Shackled by the heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Number 532.
Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he has made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout and while eternity rolls, he touched me, oh, he touched me. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
And our prayer is that he touches you, and you know the joy that floods your soul as your sins are forgiven. Our Father in heaven, we would thank you this afternoon for the touch of the Savior. We're like that leper, and the spot of sin is in our lives. We're unable to be touched by the living God because our sins separate your face from us. It's our sins that have made a division between us and you, the Holy God. But some way, somehow, when we ask for forgiveness, because Jesus paid a price, because he went to Calvary's cross and he paid the price for our sin there, and he rose from the dead on the third day. In some way, somehow, because of that, our sin can be forgiven. Our lives can be made whole. Our leprosy can be cleansed, that leprosy of sin. And Father, we thank you so much this morning for a Savior like Jesus. He wasn't afraid to save sinners. And he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. And so, Father, for some of us this morning, it's a decision that we want to make, that we want our sin cleansed, and we ask, cleanse our sin, please. Make us whole. I don't want to be better. I want to be new. Amen. And so we pray that you would cleanse us and make us whole. For some of us, Father, we've forgotten a little bit about that great salvation that Jesus brought. And we're not as warm as we should be. We're not as cold as we once were, but we're not hot for Jesus either. And I guess we're lukewarm. We're not hot or we're not cold. And we need to be made hotter. We need to be made more on fire for the Lord Jesus. And the only way that happens is when we remember what he did and what he's doing and what he's going to do. So use this message, Father, to help us to remember the great things that Jesus does. Help us to never forget. And we commend these words into your hands, asking for your blessing, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.